Blog Talk Radio.
Over yonder where Jesus is, and over yonder where Jesus is, and I'm gonna rest from all of my labor way over yonder where Jesus is. Now over yonder where Jesus is, over yonder where Jesus is, and I'm gonna rest from all of my labor way over yonder where Jesus is. Over yonder where Jesus is, way over yonder where Jesus is, that I'm gonna rest from all of my labor way over yonder where Jesus is. Some of y'all won't sing in that time. It's an easy song, and I don't understand why you wouldn't sing along with me, but I could just tell that somebody was not singing along. We're going to sing that line again, and everybody goes where Jesus is. Over yonder where Jesus is, way over yonder where Jesus is, and I'm going to rest from all of my labor way over yonder where Jesus is. Working in the sunshine, working in the rain, working in the heat of the day, well, 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 over yonder where Jesus is. Come on and listen to the angels say, somebody's mother's over yonder where Jesus is, away over yonder where Jesus is. And I'm gonna rest from all of my labors way over yonder where Jesus is. Amen. We welcome you to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast tonight. It is Preaching Tuesday, and we're going to have a good time delving into the Word of God from the book of Jonah, and we're going to enjoy learning something about Jonah and in the process learning something about ourselves. This is the Jeremiah Speaks ministry, a ministry dedicated to two things, addressing idolatry in the local church as well as accenting the authority of the church. We're glad to come to you, and we offer our contact information. You can email us, and we hope you email us at goteachandbaptize, all one word spelled out, at gmail.com. It's GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE at gmail.com. Telephone 804-313-7853. Again, that's 804-313-7853. We are on with you Monday through Friday at this same dial-in number, Monday through Friday, 7 until 7:30 p.m., and also on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. We're glad to have you join us and push us to the next level. We work in tandem with the full ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer, and immediately after this broadcast, she will come in with the fivefold broadcast. I come to you with the word from the Lord today from the book of Jonah, from the Old Testament book of Jonah. And the word says, what would the church rather do? What would the church rather do? The word says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What would the church rather do? Therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That is Jonah's words, the scripture coming from Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. Let us pray. Eternal God and our righteous King, we thank you for this day, hour, and opportunity to praise and to magnify your holy and righteous name. We thank you for an opportunity to preach your word, knowing that when your word is, we will not return it to you void, but will accomplish where it is sent. Take me out of the broadcast and fill it with the spirit of the living and true God. Give us ears to hear what the spirit will say unto the church. Speak now, O Lord, that he that hath an ear, she that hath an ear, may hear what the spirit is saying. Speak, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We all know something about the prophet Jonah. We've probably heard about the fish tale, Jonah and the great big fish, the whale, if you will. Heard a lot about it. It's an interesting piece in the New Testament. For Jesus spoke about Jonah, and that when they put the Bible together, there's something called canonization. It's how they determine which writings and which letters, which books would actually become the 66 books of the Bible. It's called, the process is called canonization. I'm always fascinated, things like that. But Jonah is in the Bible for one primary reason. It's a short book with four chapters. It's in the Bible for one primary reason. It's because Jesus called Jonah out. Old Testament writing or book, any historical writing or book that is out there, and Jesus quotes from it and calls it by name, it was automatically canonized because Jesus called it out. So Jesus called it the prophet Jonah. Does anybody remember what Jesus said about Jonah? It says that the Pharisees came to him and were after a sign. He said, the Pharisees seeketh after a sign, but the only sign I will give you is that of Jonah the prophet. Whereas Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, not in the grave, in the heart of the earth. So he calls Jonah out. But here's another interesting story about Jesus and Jonah. It's that in the first chapter of John is talking about Jesus, and a man named Philip goes and meets Jesus. And Philip goes and he meets Jesus, and he's convinced from that moment forward, I've met the Messiah. So Philip runs and does what we all ought to do. He met Jesus, and he ran to tell his friend Nathanael. He wanted to tell Nathanael, I know I've met our Savior. I know I've met the Messiah. Telling his friend Nathanael about the Messiah. And Nathanael says these words. We probably remember them too. He says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You see, Jesus is called the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. His Joseph, his earthly father, was a citizen of Nazareth. Mary and Joseph, for part of their lives, lived in Nazareth. We remember that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then they scurried away into Egypt to be protected. And then at some point, Jesus' family came back and settled in Nazareth. So there was a saying that nothing good could come out of a place like Nazareth. Some of us live in neighborhoods. Well, they'll say that about our neighborhood. Can any good thing come out of that neighborhood? And so that's what Nathanael said. But here's the trivia piece here. Jonah was from Nazareth. We never talk about that. Jonah was from the same town that Jesus grew up in. Jonah was a prophet, the Old Testament prophet. The Old Testament has two sets of prophets in the writings. There's 12 books of the minor prophets and four books of the major prophets, plus Lamentations. And so the only reason they're called major prophets is because their books were very long. That's the only reason. Then the books of the minor prophets are 12 prophets with very short books. One of them is 12 chapters, but the chapters are only a few verses each. They're really short books and easy read. Jonah is one of those short books. Jonah was a prophet, a well-established prophet, a well-respected prophet, because look what God asked Jonah to do. By himself, go to the historical enemy of the 10 northern tribes. Go to your enemy by yourself. Tell them that they're going to be destroyed and stand on those words. So, Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, God tells him, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach against their wickedness, for God is about to destroy the city. Now, we know the story since Jonah hated the Ninevites because of the way the Assyrians and the capital city, Nineveh, had treated the northern tribes over the years. The northern tribes would put out their gardens. They would put out their farm, their product, their crop, and then the Ninevites would come in at harvest time and take it all up. They terrorized them just in little pockets here. Not all at war, but they just did kind of what we call guerrilla war, and they bullied them, and they were like gangsters. And so the northern tribes the ten tribes, they hated the Ninevites. They hated the Assyrians. Now there's come a period where the Assyrians, who were running the rule in the world, have now fallen on hard times. Nineveh is still a really wicked city. It's a city of whoredom. It's a really wicked city, but they're no longer the top dog. They're no longer chief of the world anymore, and they don't bother Israel like they used to because they just don't have that power and might that they used to have. They've fallen on hard times. Well, God said to Jonah, Nineveh's having a hard time. I want you to go down there and tell that wicked city that I'm going to destroy them if they don't change their ways. Well, Jonah hated the Ninevites. He was a great, well-respected prophet. He hated the Ninevites. So Jonah said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to catch a ship and go to where God can't see me and wait until God destroys the Ninevites and celebrate. He wasn't running because he was afraid. He was running because he wanted to see God destroy his enemies. And then the people of Nineveh, historically wicked and bullies to the nation of Israel. So in the past, they had warred against Israel and done all this stuff, stolen their crops, bullied them. Times got harder now in Nineveh. So Jonah was supposed to tell the Ninevites that if they didn't repent, the God of Israel would destroy them all. So we know the story. Jonah took off. He took a boat, got on the boat, went to the bottom of the boat, and went to sleep. Storm arose, terrified the men that were sailing the boat. Didn't bother Jonah. He just rolled over and kept on sleeping. Each man prayed to his own God. See, these men on the ship, they were from another land. They weren't Israelites. And so each man began to pray to his own God, yet Jonah was found asleep at the bottom of the ship. So the men said to Jonah, wake up and pray to your God and pray to the God of the sea that we will not perish. They began throwing things overboard. Jonah said, no, I know what the problem is. My God has found me on this ship running from the service that he called me to provide, and therefore, if you throw me overboard, the waters will calm. The men begged Jonah not to do that, but Jonah said, throw me overboard. So they threw Jonah overboard. We know the story. Jonah requested it. They did it. God sent a great fish to catch Jonah. Jonah was caught inside of the fish, placed into a trance, if you will. But then Jonah prayed from within the fish. You know you can pray from anywhere, at any time, in any position. Don't let anybody tell you. You got to get on your knees and you got to say certain things to pray. You can pray to God who sees all from any position at any time. So Jonah prayed from within the fish. The fish spat Jonah out after 3 days onto the beach. Now, given God's boundless mercy, Jonah headed to Nineveh. Jonah traversed the city of Nineveh, which had 120,000 people. Jonah went from the east to the west. Jonah went from the west to the east, traversing the city and saying these words proudly. So Jonah's now changed his disposition. He still didn't want Nineveh to be saved, but he didn't want to die in that sea either. So Jonah says, okay, I didn't know God would see me. But he goes, and now he's being obedient to God, and he's kind of happy about this thing. I get to tell them that my God is going to destroy them. So he goes from east to west, covering this city of 120,000 people, and he goes coast to coast saying, yet 40 days, and y'all going to die. Yet 40 days, and God is going to destroy Nineveh. Yet 40 days, and it will all be over. Jonah then went and established a perch above the city in the east so he could watch them scramble and watch them suffer and watch them pray and beg. And recently, a guy who I'm familiar with who is an atheist, he's an atheist and he has this bad tumor and he has to go in for surgery. And so he wanted me to pray for him so bad. And he wanted those of us that are in the group pray for him so bad. He said, please, y'all, at 10 o'clock on Monday, send some energy my way. It's funny how people don't believe in your God, but when they're faced with the option of perishing, suddenly they believe that there just might be a good God there anyhow. So the people began to do their thing, and Jonah sat up on a hill and said, this is going to be good. I'm going to watch God destroy these wicked people. I wonder if he'll rain down fire and brimstone like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder if the fire is going to come down from heaven and consume them, or maybe he'll bring a mighty flood from the shore that, and like in Noah's time. I wonder, and I'm going to get a good perch, and I'm going to watch it for myself. You know, sometimes we would like to see something bad happen to our enemies. Every now and then, we're hearing about a tornado that went in a certain direction, and we said, oh, it hit that neighborhood, and you're thinking to yourself, they had it coming. Lord have mercy, you don't have to say it out loud, but some of us think that. And then he was waiting to see the destruction, and Nineveh believed Jonah's word. Nineveh called, the king called for a fast, and said, everybody will fast. There will be no eating for the rest of these 40 days. Not even the animals will be fed during this time. We will all fast. Much of the city put on sackcloth and fasted. And God spared the city. And God spared the city. So that brings us to our text today, and we're looking at, we know the fish story. I want us to get a little bigger than the fish story and take a look at another story that Jonah himself wrote. Nobody else could have written this, because who else would have told the truth that Jonah shared? The text says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And my text is, my subject is, what would the church rather do? What is Jonah talking about? So Jonah is angry with our merciful God. How can the God of Israel save a wicked Nineveh? Watch out, church. There are folk now that say, how can God save a drunk like him? How can God save a blasphemer like him? How can God save a murderer like him, a liar, a thief? Rather than welcome the Ninevites and celebrate their salvation, Jonah is repulsed. He's indignant. He's angry. Jonah says these words right here, I would rather die than to see Nineveh get saved. Can I say it again? Jonah said, I would rather die than to see Nineveh get saved. Are we in the text now? Well, what has this to do with us today? What does this have to do with us today? On the day of Pentecost, that which had been a Jewish religion that was becoming Christianity, but they were followers of the Jesus, 120 people waiting for Jesus in the upper room. Jesus told them to meet him there in Jerusalem. And they were faced with this too, because they were given a message when the Spirit came on them like cloven tongues. And they went out and spoke the gospel to the Gentiles and Jews alike all across Jerusalem. Today, too many local churches don't act like the Pentecost church. I wish I had a witness. Too many local churches act like Jonah and say, I would rather die than accept God's boundless mercy. Wow. That's what we're saying. I would rather die as a church, die on the vine, run out of members, run out of money, run out of options than to accept God's boundless mercy. Like Jonah, many churches can testify of God's boundless mercy, yet they would rather die than see their enemies get it. Lord have mercy. They would rather die than see their enemies get saved. That person that I've never liked, and they never liked me, that person that never treated me right, they don't deserve the God that saved me. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. The modern church often leads in segregation and comes in dead last in extending God's boundless mercies to enemies, downtrodden, strangers, hungry, and the oppressed. Can I tell it like it is? There are a whole lot of folk that don't want people that don't look like them into that church. And now the churches are being faced with a new situation. We've had the pandemic. We've had the social upheaval. We've had the division across our country, the United States. We've had division across the world. Now the church is faced with a decline in membership. Now we're faced with millennials who say, I just don't do church. Now we're faced with a church that's growing older and on a fixed income, if you will. Now we're faced with a church that may not thrive like my grandfather's church. And now the church is making a decision. I'd rather see them get God's boundless mercy, or I'd rather keep the church like my grandfather had it. and let the church die rather than bring in people whom I don't like. Now, I was changed. God saved me, turned me around, placed my feet on the solid ground. I know a bunch of people that were out there with me. They got saved too, and they're now strong in the Lord. But we're saying that that which God did for me, I don't think it should be for everybody else. Black people, white people, Asians, Mexicans, foreigners, those that don't act like me, dress like me, look like me, I just don't think they deserve to be in my church. And then we'll say this ridiculous statement, it's okay for them to be holy. It's okay for them to be Christian. I just don't think we need them in our church. Oh, I wish we would tell the truth and shame the devil. The church testifies of God's boundless mercy, yet would rather die than see their enemies get saved. The modern church often leads in segregation and comes in dead last in extending God's boundless mercies to their enemies, to the downtrodden, to strangers, to the hungry, and the oppressed. The church was the last institution to accept black integration in the South, the last institution. The church was the last great institution to treat women equally. Let me say it again. The church was the last of the great institutions to treat women correctly. The church was the last to embrace refugees and foreigners and gays and lesbians, talking about the church, if you will. Local churches have not acted Pentecostal. They've acted like Jonah. I would rather die than see my enemies get saved. I would rather die than see people who don't have my skin color get saved. I would rather die than see another ethnicity operating in my church. Oh, yeah, we'll let people visit that don't look like us. We'll ask them if they're comfortable. We'll offer them a fan. We'll ask them, and, you know, come back anytime you feel like it. We'll even let them join our church. But when they decide they want to get in our choir and lead a song, then we start buzzing. We start mumbling. We start saying, couldn't they find a church across town? Next thing, they're going to bring their whole family in here, take over our church. Oh, my goodness. The spirit of Antichrist is showing up in the church. Back in the mid-90s, I was refused a sale. This was in the 90s. I was refused a sale in a store by a merchant who said, I don't think I want to make a sale to one of your kind. I was buying equipment for my business. I couldn't believe she said that. This is like 1995. I couldn't believe she said that. And then somebody told me about 3 months later, she had closed her doors. Store had been there. Her father had run that store for years and years and years, and she had to close her doors for lack of business. She would rather close her doors than serve somebody that looked like me. Lord, have mercy. Rather than sell to my kind. What would the church rather do? Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is not the first time this has happened. John tells us in the first chapter, verse 10, the world that was made by him didn't even know who he was. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 10:4 says, but Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Talk to me if you can. We think this is our church. We think we own the church. But Jesus said, if you're my sheep and if you're my church, then you know my voice. And you can distinguish my voice in other people. You can distinguish my spirit in other people. Matthew 25:33, Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. Why? Because when I was hungry, you fed me. Talk to me if you can. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. And in prison and sick, you visited me. It is the role of the church to show God's boundless mercy. It is the role of the church to resolve problems, not to make problems. It is the role of the church to grow in adversity, embrace adversity, reach out and touch somebody's hand. It's the role of the church to be that which the world will not be. In Jesus' call into the ministry in Luke 4:18-19, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. Talk back to me if you can. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was Jesus' call. Jesus didn't challenge his church to persecute, to chastise, and to punish sinners. That's not our job. We see the sin, we recognize the sin, and in many circumstances, it's our job to call the sin out. but he didn't call us to persecute, chastise, and punish. He did not call us to draw lines to keep people out. He did not call us to fill the pews with people who only look like ourselves. That is not why Jesus called us into his ministry. Well, I got to close out here. Jesus in Matthew 16 took the 12 who would become the church. And he took them to Caesarea Philippi to remind them and to teach them that the church is to show boundless mercy to sinners. It doesn't matter how tall they are. It doesn't matter how nasty their parents were. It does not matter what language they speak. It does not matter who they had sex with. It does not matter who they had a baby by. It does not matter what their addiction is or how many times they couldn't pay their light bill. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and are heavy laden. Come unto me. Whosoever will, let them come. The church of the living God, built by Jesus, conceived in Matthew, commissioned in John, and born in Acts, is called to act like Jesus and show boundless mercy. The church is called to call from sinners to enemies. We are called to have mercy from sinners to enemies. Win souls with boundless mercy. Jonah sat in the sun, mad at God. Lord, have mercy. Angry that the God who showed him mercy in the deep, angry that God delivered him from the deep, angry that the God who rescued him from the ocean with a fish made just for Jonah, angry that the God delivered him from the same God that delivered him from the fish would now dare to show that same mercy to the Ninevites. Jonah was a great prophet of God. Jonah knew quite a bit about God. Jonah had the power and the authority and the word of God at his disposal. Yet even Jonah did not realize the nature of God is to love his own creation. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Jonah said, I would rather die than to see them get saved. What would the church rather do? Would we rather for the church to die or to see sinners and even our enemies get saved? That is the challenge today. That is the word today. I say the churches, and the church is the people. The people, the congregation, make up the church. The church is a called-out community of believers. The church does not realize how much authority it actually has. The church does not realize what it does when it shortcuts. Church doesn't realize what it does when, as a church body, we are disobedient. It is no surprise with one person or two people in the church say, we don't want that kind in here. That doesn't surprise me. But when the church allows it, when the church allows people to begin determining who's good enough, then that local church has failed the universal church, because the universal church looks like and acts like Almighty Jesus. The universal church will occupy until Jesus comes. There's nothing wrong with the universal church, and there's no shortage of membership in the universal church. The universal church of the living and true God is doing what Jesus called us to do and living according to his word. But it's that local church with Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and scribes and lawyers that are running it. It's the local church that's being run on the fuel of gossip, the local church that's being run on slander, the local church that's being run on you're not good enough and discrimination. That's only in the local church where somebody thinks they are who they're not. Those that think they are with Jesus are actually placing themselves against Jesus, and God is allowing that church to just hang on the vine and die. Take a look at your church today. Take a look at your church this week and ask yourself, am I willing to make some changes for the kingdom? Or do like Jonah and say, I wish I was dead rather than see them get saved. This is the word of God from the people of God, even so saith the Spirit. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We are now going to turn you over to the Fivefold Ministry. Stay tuned and be blessed.
God bless you and welcome to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Murphy.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome.
Welcome to the 5-4 Ministry Broadcast. Sit back and relax, and let's abase ourselves and worship the Lord. Amen. Welcome to our broadcast each week. You can hear us on this radio dial from 7:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Again, you can hear the Fivefold Ministry from 7:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. This is our disclaimer. As we worship and praise God in spirit and in truth, we want to glorify God through those artists who have produced such beautiful music. We want to fellowship with them, promote their music, and encourage you to get those CDs. Again, this is our disclaimer that our artists own the right to their music. So let us listen to William Murphy and Everlasting God. Amen.
My salvation, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Real simple song, I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord, my life, salvation, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord, my life, salvation, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait. Everybody sing, the Lord, my life, salvation, whom shall I fear? You say it. Whom shall I be afraid? No, no. The Lord, my life, salvation, whom shall I fear? No, no. Whom shall I fear? I will wait on you. Raise your voice, say,
Isn't it so beautiful that the songwriter says that I will trust in you? God is waiting on each one of us to continually to trust him and to know that he can do anything but fail. You know, when you trust God at his word, when you believe him at his promises, that your faith is working for you and you can move heaven and you can move the very presence of God. You know, God loves you. You are his beloved. And there are things that we have to do within ourselves to read his word, keep his commandments, live according to the gospel, love people the way that we want to be loved, and to treat others the way we like to be treated. God bless you. Let's listen to Wim Murphy, It's Working. It is working when you have accepted the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that he is your Lord and your Savior. Then it's working. Amen. You can believe that everything is working together for your good. When you take your own mindset out of it and turn it over to Jesus and leave it at the cross. You know, a lot of us sometimes we make mistakes because we start thinking the way out. We come up with our own solutions. We don't ask God. We don't pray about it, fast on it, seek his guidance. But we take it into our own hands to try to figure out our problems. The Bible says, take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Let us listen to right now as we listen to Leandria Johnson as she sings Blessings. And that I love how she just gives the rendition that, you know, when we take our mindsets off of it and give it to the Lord, that we can be blessed. Amen.
Sing it for somebody.
Deliver me.
Rescue me from myself.
All I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody overthink a lot? Overthink a lot. That hurts you. Uh-huh.
Hurt me.
That's right. Now let's take it up and cry out. Say.
Oh.
Take your time.
The God sees it doing hurt me.
Anybody out there got that message?
Yeah.
We should be finishing it, but I need you to just say it one more time.
Said, thank you, Lord. The Tri-City Singers were singing that we have to be grateful and to thank God. When we try to get it out of our minds and turn it over to the Lord and leave it at the foot of the cross, you know, that shows our faith. It released that power of the Holy Ghost, and it will build you up to say that God can do anything but fail. Because you know why? He loves you. And as Will Murphy say, that God loves us and that he loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. We thank God for the shedding of Christ's blood, that death, burial, and resurrection is bringing us through for eternal life. Truly, we are blessed. Let us listen to Will Murphy at this time. Amen.
Totally free from sin, every shackle broke. Now I can live. Oh, yeah, y'all say it. I have been healed. Totally free from sin, every shackle.
have been restored by the love of God. Let us praise him. Let us worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us go into that inner court to let God know that we are grateful. Amen.
I have been set free by your love. Come on, fast.
I have been set.
Yes, we have been set free by Christ's love. You know you are loved today. You are his beloved. And our God is so able to do anything but fail. Yes, he can. He can do anything but fail. We love him today. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Our P.O. Box is 9786. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, that's the Fivefold Ministries, P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Let us worship God. We know that he's able. We know that he's capable, and he can do anything but fail. When we take it out of our hands, when we turn it over to the Lord, when we leave it at the foot of the cross, we got to believe it so we can receive our miracle. We can receive our healing, our deliverance. We can receive that breakthrough power of God. You know why? Because our God is able. Let us listen to Dietrich Haddenow. He's able. Amen. Have to believe that our God is able. If God doesn't do it, it cannot be done. God is God all by himself. He is God alone. That God is the Alpha and the Maker. He is the beginning and the end. That he made the heaven above and the heavens below. Our God is God all by himself. He don't need our help. We need his help. We need his favor. We need his love. We need his presence. Yes, God is God all by himself. We love the Lord. Let us worship him in spirit and truth. Let us listen to Marvin Sapp, that you are God all alone. Amen. To God, and we realize that He's God all alone, we have the victory. God wants us to believe Him and His promises, believe His word that He is God all alone. We thank God for the presence of the Holy Ghost. We thank God for the blood of Calvary. We love Him so. Amen. Get to an understanding that we know that He alone is God, and we are doing what He has commanded us to do, and that we are upholding that bloodstained banner, treating everyone the way we want it to be treated, and to live according to His word. Only then can we hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." Let us listen to Dietrich Haddon as we get ready to close out our show in worshiping God. Amen.
Oh, I just want to cross the river. My Lord. I want to be free from sin. When this life is over, I just want to have eternal life.
Wouldn't that be wonderful just to hear our Lord say, well done, that we held on to the word, we live according to his, and we are his beloved, the children of God. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. You can hear us each day, Monday through Fridays, from 7:30 to 8 on this radio dial, as well as Sundays from 9 o'clock a.m. to 10 o'clock. Let us listen to Jeff Major's Songs 23. God bless you and have a nice evening. Bye-bye.